Today's daf is Yevamos daf Lamed Ches. We left off, we're a little bit behind, we're a little bit up on the page on daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. We're going to first discuss, we're going to try to start again from the beginning of the Inyan. We're going to discuss splitting the Yerusha when we deal with the Safek Ben Shiva, Safek Ben Tisha, if you have a case of Yibum, where the child is we're not sure whose child the child is. We're not sure if he's a 7 month pregnancy from the brother, or if he's from the surviving brother, or if he's a result of a 9 month pregnancy from the deceased brother. So we're going to discuss what we do about various Yerusha situations in that case. If he doesn't know who his father is, there are seven different cases of Yerusha situations that we have to try to figure out. And that takes us from the two dots in the middle of Lamed Zayin and Beis all the way to the Mishnah on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Then the Mishnah is going to talk about who has the rights to the property of a Shomeres Yavam, both while she awaits Yibum and after she dies. If she dies before ever getting Yibum, who has the rights to her property? Is it the Arshe Av, the Arshe Abal? To what extent is she considered a Nesua, and to what extent is she not considered a Nesua? Meaning, what does Zika actually do? And the Gemara is going to bring Rayos about Zikas Arusa being considered a Safek, Safek Arusa, Zikas Nesua being considered a Safek Nesua. But ultimately, that comes up in the context of different explanations the Gemara is going to have for the Mishnah Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, and there are going to be two on today's daf, two explanations of the Mishnah and daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, and the second explanation revolves around the idea of Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vaday. So one of the explanations revolves around the extent to which a Zika creates a situation of Safek, and the other explanations revolve around the concept of Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vaday, that when you have a Safek and a Vaday, the Vaday is always going to win. But let's begin again. Maybe we'll even just go back to the two dots again on the second to last skinny line on Lamed Zayin and Beis to get clarity in the whole Inyan. So Safek V'yav. So again, we're discussing seven cases of Yerusha situations that come up between a child who's a Safek, whose father is Safek Ben Shiva, to one husband, or Ben Tes to another husband, and other people. So Safek V'yavam Shabo Lachlok B'nichse Misna. Let's say the Safek, this child who may be the son of the deceased brother, or he may be the son of the Yavam, comes to divide the deceased brother's estate with the Yavam. And they argue, not divide, they come to argue about the deceased brother's estate. Safek Amar Anabar Misnu V'nichse Didihu. So the Safek child says, I am the son of the deceased man, and therefore I deserve all the Nechasim. You don't get anything. The Yavam Amar, and the Yavam says, no, you're my son, and therefore you don't get anything of your uncle's nechasim. I'm the brother, he didn't have any children, I get all of his nechasim. So this is a safek, we don't know the child, we don't know who his father is, and therefore they divide the money. What about the following case? Second case, Safek ubnei Yavam shabo lachluk b'nichse misna. The Yavam is already dead now, and now you have the Safek child and the Yavam's children coming to divide the estate of the brother who had died first, of the original deceased brother. Safek Amar, the Safek says, Hahu gavra bar misnuhu v'nichse didihu. I am the child of the deceased brother, and therefore I'm entitled to his entire estate. B'nei Yavam Amri, the children of the Yavam say, Atachinuat, no, you're our brother. And therefore you only get a portion together with the rest of us. Meaning the deceased brother's estate went to our father. He's all of our father, and therefore we divide it evenly. So the Rabban thought to say in front of Rav Misharshia that it's very comparable to a case of a Mishnah. Because you have a case of Mishnah that says as follows. The Tnan, when discussing this Safek child, the Safek Ben Zayin, Safek Ben Tes, and discussing a person who doesn't know who his father is, and there are two families that he's connected to, or that he's half connected to, because he doesn't know which one is his real father, the Mishnah says, Hu eino yoresh osam. He can't yarshin any of them, either side, because either side can say, no, you belong on the other side. You're not our brother. You're the other family's brother. But vehem yarshin also. But they together, collectively, can yarshin him. Because mimanav shuch, they can yarshin him. So they can divide whatever they get from Yerusha from him. So that's the Mishnah. So we thought to say, v'hacha ipcha, that over here we would say pretty much the opposite. Hasam amri le isi raya v'shakul. Hacha amr luhu isi raya v'shkalu. Just like over there, they could say to him when he wants to yarshin, bring a raya that you deserve any Yerusha, and he has no koach to bring any raya. He can't bring any raya, so he gets nothing. So over here, he can say to them, you guys bring a raya. I have the upper hand now, so you bring a raya that you deserve a Yerusha, and then you could take. Meaning, in our case, where it's the Safek and the Bnei Yavam that are dividing the estate of the brother who had died first, of the deceased brother, the one who had died first, the Yavam, the Safek has the upper hand, because he definitely gets something in that estate. Whichever way is true, whether he's actually the child of the person whose estate they're dividing, or he's not, he definitely gets a piece of the estate. If he's the child, he gets the whole estate. If he's not the child, he divides it with the rest of them. The Bnei Yavam will only get a piece of the estate if he is not the child of the deceased relative. So he has the upper hand. Amlur of Mesharshia, so Mesharshia said, no, that's not at all similar to the Mishnah. Mi dami, hasam inu vadai viu safek, hacha idi viidi safek. No, there's a big difference that over there, the other brothers are a vadai. They know who they're coming to be yarish. Meaning the Mishnah that we're comparing it to is where you have a safek, a kid who's a safek, whether he belongs to family A or family B. All the other siblings in family A know that they belong to family A. So when father A dies, they know that they're entitled to Yerusha. They're a vadai. He's a suffolk whether he belongs to family A. All the brothers in family B know that they belong to family B. And therefore, when father B dies, they know that they get Yerusha. He's a suffolk. He doesn't know. So that's why over there we give them the upper hand over him, because they are a vadai. He is a suffolk. But over here, in our case, everybody is a suffolk. Even the suffolk is the suffolk is not towing Tainas Vade. He doesn't know. Meaning, even this child who's a suffolk ben Shiva, suffolk ben Tisha, who we say gets the upper hand, he doesn't really know why he gets the upper hand. He just knows that miman of shach he gets something. But even he doesn't know exactly who he is, and therefore his upper hand is not nearly as strong as the upper hand described in that Mishnah. Ella idami lemasnisin. If you want to compare it to any Mishnah, lahadamya, you should compare it to the following: l'safik ubnei yavam shabo lachlok b'nichse yavam. It's the safik b'nichse yavam gufei. The safik and the bnei yavam coming to divide not the estate of the brother who had originally been deceased, who had died first, but rather they come to divide the nechasim of the yavam. Dahasam amri lei aisi raya dachunat v'shakul. Then certainly the bnei yavam get the upper hand, because the bnei Yavim can say, bring a raya that you're our brother, and then you'll be able to take a part of the Yavim's estate. Meaning, if you are the son of the original deceased brother, you get nothing in our father's estate. We know for sure where we're coming from. We definitely get a piece in our father's estate. That would be a more comparable case where you have a vade. That's what you can compare that Mishnah to. Next case. Savik ubnei Yavim, now a third case of Yerusha that we're discussing. Savik ubnei Yavim, Shabbat. This adds a little detail. You have a Suffolk and the Bnei Yavam who come to divide the Nechasim of the Yavam, not of the original deceased brother, but of the Yavam. But it's after they had already taken they already divided the nechasim of the deceased brother. Now, what happened with the nechasim of the deceased brother? So they already took care of it, and they already divided it in a way where the this safek got the upper hand. Bnei Yavam Amri, so the Bnei Yavam say, I see Raya Dachuna at Vishakul. You want the Yavam's, you want a portion of the Yavam's property, so you're going to have to bring a Raya that you are one of our brothers, and there that you are our brother, and therefore, and then you'll be able to take a portion. You're not going to be able to bring a Raya, so you don't get any portion. Amr Lahu, Safek, Manav Shaychu. The Safek says, Manav Shaych. Iyachu Chonana, Havali Mansa Badaichu. If I am in fact your brother, so then I get a portion of your father's estate the way I should get a portion of your father's estate. Vi Bar Misna, and if I am the son of the deceased brother, of the one who died first, Havali Palga, the Plaga Vuchan Badai, then you should give me half, because the half of your father is in my possession. Meaning when I originally had to divide with your father the estate of the brother who had died first, I had to divide it because he came with a taina that I wasn't the son of the brother who had died first. Now you want a taina, I am the son of the brother who had died first, so give me the other half that he had taken from me. He owes me that half then. So Manav Shach, you should give me something. Now, so says the Gemara, Rabbi Abba Amar Rav, Kam Dina. Rabbi Abba says in the name of Rav that once we already paskined on him, we already had that case paskined, and we already dealt with the Nichse Ames, you can't go back and say, no, let's undo what we had done with the Nichse Ames and give me the other half because of a taina that you have that I'm the son of the deceased. Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar, Hadar Dina. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, absolutely we can do that. We can reassess the whole situation. Now it's in the best interest of the sons of the Avam to say that this Safek is the son of the Mace, of the one who had died first. So good, so then treat him like the son of the Mace and let him get the Mace's entire estate. Lema Bepluta da Admon v'Rabbanu Kamithli. So the Gemara suggests, maybe this is really the subject of Machlokes between Admon and the Rabbanan. To Tanan, we have a Mishnah as follows. Misha halach l'medina seyam, va'avdol al-derech sadehu. A guy owns a field that's surrounded by other fields, and the only way to get into his field is by walking through one of the other fields. He goes to Medina Sayyam and he comes back, and they can't find the path, and they don't remember which side the path was on. They don't know where the derech is to get to his field. Admon Amar Yelich B'Ktsara. So Admon says, well, we know he was Muchsak to own a path to be able to go through to his field. So take the shortest path, take the smallest amount of property away from the person who is his neighbor, who he's allowed to walk through their field. Just take the smallest path possible and use that and assume that that's his path, because he gets at least that. At least that much was his path. The Chum say, no, he has no idea where his path is, so he doesn't get a path until he buys one. He has to buy it with money from the person who's his neighbor. Or if he doesn't want to buy it, let him fly, let him figure something out, because he doesn't need, he's not entitled to anything. So the Gemara points out that Admon Lechor has a good taina. He definitely had a path in the neighbor's property. Why would we tell him all of a sudden, now you don't have a path and you have to buy it? We know for sure he had something. So at least give him the most minimal path. Now the case is, he didn't have a neighbor whose field surrounded him. He had four different neighbors whose field surrounded his field. And therefore, since there were four different neighbors, he doesn't know which of the neighbors he has a path in their field, meaning whose field he has a path in. So each one could say, no, it wasn't in my field, go to the other guy. It wasn't in mine, go to the other guy. So each one can say that they're not the one who he has a right to go through their field, and that's why he's going to have to buy it. So frankly, Gemara, yeah, that makes the Rabbanan make a lot of sense. Yehachi my time at Admon. Then why does Admon say that he's entitled to the shortest path? Why should the guy who has the shortest path be the one that loses just because he's the one that has the smallest field that surrounds this? Why should he lose out just because he has the shortest path through his field? We don't know that was where the original path was. Vamarava. So Rav explained, Barba da asu mikoach arba'a, Barba da asu mikoach chad. When you have four guys currently surrounding his field, everyone agrees that they can tell him, listen, you want a path, you're going to have to buy a path. Otherwise, figure it out. You're not getting a pay. You're not getting anything for free from any of us, because each one could push him off to the next guy. That's for sure. When there are four guys that currently surround him, that's definitely the case. The machlokas is, what if right now there's only one neighbor around him, but when he originally got the path, there were four? It's just that this one guy bought up the properties of all four of his neighbors, and now the fellow comes home and he says, okay, there's only one neighbor that surrounds me now because you own all the properties. I definitely own a path. Give me the shortest path. So that's where Admon says, Admon Savar, Matsyamale Mikol Makom Darki Gabach. Hu. Admon says that he can say, look, I know for sure that I have a path in this in one of your properties, so give me the shortest path in one of your properties. For Rabbanan Sabri and Rabbanan hold no. Darmalei, the guy can say back to him, Ishatakt, Shatakt, if you want to be quiet and negotiate with me, so we'll negotiate. Maybe I'll give you a good deal. V'ilo, but if you're not going to negotiate with me and be willing to pay me for a new path, Madarna Shtara Lamarayhu, I'll give back the shtaros to the original owners, and then you're not going to be entitled to anything. You're going to have to buy from one of them. And I don't know that any of them are going to give you such a good deal. That's the whole threat. Otherwise, meaning if he's making him buy it now, it has to be that he's offering him a good deal. If he's not offering him a good deal, the guy will say, okay, so give it back. I'll try my luck with one of them. It's the same as trying my luck with you. So it has to be that that's what Rashi points out, that he's saying, if you want to be quiet, good, and I'm not going to charge you too much. But if you don't want to be quiet, you want to play hardball, I'll give back the shtaros for all four of these fields to the original four owners, and you'll have to buy it from them for a lot of money. So lema Rabbi Abba da Amar Karabanan. Rabbi Abba, who had said kum dina in our case, who had said that that once we had already established how to divide the nechasim of the maize, he's going like the Rabbanan, who say that kum dina, that it's already the Rabbanan over here are saying that what's already sold is sold, and he could undo it and go back to the original din. Rabbi Yirmiyah da'amar ka'admon, and Rabbi Yirmiyah says hadar dina, that we can reassess the whole thing, is assuming like admon. Says the Gemara, no, amar lach Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba could respond, anoda amri afilu ka'admon, I would even say like admon. Adkan, meaning I would even agree. In even though Rabbi Abba will say, even though I hold kum dina, in the case of the paths and the field, I would agree to admon that the guy should be entitled without having to pay to the smallest path. Ad kan lo kamar admon hasam el mishum da amarle mi manav shach darki chad gabachu. Well, admon only says over there that he's entitled to the smallest path because Mimanavshach, he has a path by somebody. He certainly he has a path by one of those fields, and now all the fields are owned by the same person, so he definitely owns a path through this guy's fields. But over here, can you say such a thing? Is there a mimanavshach? He doesn't even know what he's asking for. Meaning, it's true that he knows he's entitled to something mimanavshach, but he doesn't know what his taina really is. As Rashi points out, miikalamemarachi halo yada mai katava mine. He doesn't even know what he's being tovea from him. Ipalga benichsi misne, ipalga mansa benichsayav, or imansa benichsayavam. Is he asking for half of the nechasim of the first brother who had died, claiming that he is the son of that brother, and therefore when he originally only got half, he was really entitled to the whole thing, so give me the other half? Or is he claiming a chelek of the nechasim of the Yavam because he's a son of the Yavam? So he's coming with two different tainos, as opposed to the case of Admon, where he's coming with one very clear taina. I want a path. It's a taina's bari that I know that I deserve a path. So they're totally different cases. Rabbi Yirmiyah amar lach, and Rabbi Yirmiyah would respond, anoda amri afilu rabbanan. Rabbi Yirmiyah could say that even though I hold in the case of the Yavam hadar dina, I would say in the case of the path, like the Rabbanan, that he's entitled to nothing. That ad kan lo kaim Rabbanan hasam el mishum darmalei shatak shatak v'ilo ma'adar nishtar l'marayu. Because the reason the Rabbanan say he's entitled to nothing by the case of the path is because the new owner can genuinely say, listen, you can negotiate with me, or I will put you in a situation where it's very clear what your halacha will be. I'll give back the shtaros, and then it will be very clear that you will not be entitled to anything. V'lo ma'adar shri yadin. And there's nothing you're going to be able to do about that. But over here, do they have the Bnei Yavam have such an upper hand? Are they in the driver's seat to be able to do such a thing? There's nothing they can do to make that happen. They're just as much specific, really, about who this guy is as he is, and they don't have any shtaros to return that will make anything change. So that's why it's an entirely different case. So the Gemara tried to connect the machlokas about the path between Admon and the Rabbanan with the machlokas between Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yirmiyah about a safek and a bnei yavam that come to be mechalik b'nichse yavam, but the Gemara says that both Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yirmiya would say that they're not really connected to this machlokas tanaim. That was the third and probably the most complicated of all the cases of dividing the Yerusha. Now the fourth case, safek v'yavam, shabo lachlok b'nichse saba. What if you have a suffolk and the yavam that come to divide the grandfather's estate? Meaning, the grandfather had two sons. One of them died, and he left behind a suffolk child. We're not sure if the grandchild is a child of son number one who died, or son number two, the son of Reuven who died, or the son of Shimon. But now this grandson comes together with Shimon to divide the grandfather's estate. So Suffolk Amar, the Suffolk child says, "Hi Gavra Bar Misnehu, I'm the son of Reuven, I'm the son of the deceased brother, and therefore Palga Didihu, I get half the Yerusha. And if my father was a Bechor, I get double Yerusha. Whatever it is, I get my father's portion in the Yerusha." Yavam Amar, the Yavam says, "No, At Broi Didiat, you're not his son, you're my son. You're not Reuven's son, you're my son. Veleslach Lomidi, and I am the only surviving son of my father, and therefore I get the entire Yerusha of my father, of the grandfather. But you get nothing, because you're only my son. You have to wait till I die if you want to get something." Have a Yavam Vadai, V'Safek Safek. So in this case, the Yavam is coming with the Tainas Vadai, because he definitely is entitled to something. He's definitely entitled to at least half the Yerusha. The Suffolk is coming with a Taina Suffolk because he may be entitled to zero if he's the son of the Yavam. It's true, he may be entitled to half, but he may be entitled to zero. The Ein Suffolk Motzi Midei Vadai. And the rule is that Ein Suffolk Motzi Midei Vadai. When you have a Suffolk and you have a Vadai, the Vadai is always going to beat out the Suffolk. There's an interesting discussion in the Achronim. When we say that Ein Suffolk Motzi Midei Vadai, does that mean that the Vadai wins Bitoras Vadai? Meaning that it's as if the Suffolk doesn't even exist. And the Vadai is an absolute Vadai, and the Vadai has complete Chazaka. The Suffolk doesn't have the Koch to be Goreya the Chazaka at all. Or do we say no? The Koch of the Vadai is only like the Koch of, let's say, Ruba the Chazaka, Ruba Adif, where you'd have something where one wins, but it's not a Vadai Gomor, meaning it's not an absolute Vadai, it still weakens it in some way. The Gulyani Ashas, Rav Yosef Engel, tries to bring a Raya from Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that if you have a sick person who says that he's able to fast, and the doctor says he doesn't know if this sick person is able to fast, so it's considered a Suffolk Nefashos, and the Suffolk Nefashos is Docha Shabbos. So it says you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for the sick person, he's allowed to eat in Yom Kippur. If he says, the Chol himself says, "I'm able to do it," and the doctor says, "I don't know, he might be right, but he might be wrong, I don't know if he's able to do it," that's called a Suffolk. So it sounds like it's not a Vadai Gamur, because the Chari should say, well, he's a Vadai, he's a Suffolk, so ain't Suffolk Motzi Midei Vadai. Let the Vadai win. That's true if the Vadai is a total Vadai, we ignore the Suffolk entirely, it's as if the Suffolk doesn't exist. But if you say that the Suffolk is Goreya the Vadai a little bit, it does chip away at the Vadai, it's just normally the Vadai wins. Yeah, but not by Pikuach Nefesh, the Vadai doesn't win. I mean, by Pikuach Nefesh, if the Vadai is not an absolute Vadai, it's not going to win. By Pikuach Nefesh, even if there's a little bit of a Suffolk, even we're Choshesh for even a small Suffolk by Pikuach Nefesh, then the Suffolk would win. So it sounds like from here that the Vadai is not a Vadai Gamur, because otherwise we should say, ain't Suffolk of the Rofe, be Motzi Midei Vadei of the Chola, so why shouldn't the Chola be right and let him fast, and let him do it, because he's a Vadei. But then the Rav Yosef Engel points out, it's not really a good Raya, because that's not a real Vadei. I mean, the Chola doesn't really know. No one really knows. You don't know what we're going to be able to survive. He thinks, he's confident. He's confident that he's going to, but no one really knows anything in that case. That's not really called a Vadei. Over here, we're coming with the Tainas Vadei, that's an actual Vadei. So it's not necessarily a raya in the end of the day, but it's an interesting interesting possibility. The Birchas Shmuel in Bab Metzia quotes from Reb Chaim that the Geder Vein Safik Midei Vadai is not like Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya, where the Mamon stays Becheskaso. It's a Din Gomor that there's no Safik at all. I mean, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya is, it's a Safik Mamon. What do you do with the Safik Mamon? Just leave the money where it is. We can't do anything with it. This is different. This is a Din Vadai. The Ein Safik Motzi Midei Vadai is that it's an absolute Vadai that he's entitled to the money. Okay, fifth case now of dividing the Yerusha. Safek ubnei Yavam shabo lachlok b'nichsei Saba. Let's say you have a Safek and not the Yavam now, but the children of the Yavam that come to divide the estate of the grandfather. So all the grandchildren come to divide the estate of the grandfather. Both of the fathers are dead, and we don't know whether this Safek was the son of Reuven or the son of Shimon. All the other kids are a son of Shimon, but we don't know whether this one was a son of Reuven or a son of Shimon. Safek Amar, the Safek says, Ho gavra bar misnehu pal gadidihu. He says, I'm a son of Reuven. The rest of you, let's say it's five other brothers, the rest of you are all sons of Shimon. So here's the way it happens. Reuven was entitled to half of the estate. All of that comes to me. Shimon was entitled to the other half of the estate. All of that gets divided by the five of you. So I get 50% of Zadie's estate. Ubnei Yavam Amri, the Bnei Yavam say, no. Achunaat, you are our brother. Umansa islach ba'adan, and you are and you just get an equal portion with the rest of us. So you are now one of six. If there are six of them, if there are two of them, let's pick that case that there are two of them. So you're one of three of us, and you don't get half of the estate. You get a third of the estate because there are three of us in total. We're all children of Shimon. So Shimon got the entire estate, and therefore we divide it evenly. Palga de komodi luhu shakli. So the halacha is the half that he is moda that they are entitled to, that these other two brothers, that Shimon's two vadei children are entitled to, they definitely get that 50%. Tilsa de komodule shakal. The one third that he's definitely entitled to, he gets that, meaning they claim that he's the son of Shimon, so he definitely gets that 33.3%. He definitely gets that one third. Pashlu danka, what's left is roughly one sixth. Having mamna mutl b'safek v'cholkin. What we do with that 1/6 is we consider it mamna mutl b'safek, and they divide it evenly. So they get their half to divide evenly amongst the two of them. He gets his 1/3 to keep for himself, and then whatever's remaining, they divide evenly as mamna mutl b'safek, which they're going to divide. Now the 6th and 7th case are saba v'yavam b'nichsei safek. You have the grandfather and the yavam dividing the nechasim of the Safek, meaning the Safek child died, and who is really entitled to the Yerusha? The grandfather and the Yavam are fighting it out. The Yavam saying, I'm his father. The grandfather saying, no, he doesn't have a father. His father died already, and I'm the grandfather. O Saba v'Safek b'nichsei Yavam. Or maybe the Saba and the Safek, the grandfather and the Safek, are arguing about the nichsei Yavam. The Yavam died, and now the Safek is saying, I'm the Yavam's kid. And the Yerusha doesn't go upward if it can go downward. I'm the Yavam's child. I get the whole thing. And there are no other children. And the grandfather says, no, you're my, you're Reuven's child. You're the first deceased son's child. This, the Shimon's Nechasim, though, go to me, the grandfather says, because he didn't have any children. In both of those cases, we consider it to be Mamun Mutl B'Safek V'Cholkin, and therefore we divide it, since it's treated like a Safek. Good, that is the end of the discussion of the seven cases of Yerusha when you're dealing with a Safek Ben Zion, Safek Ben Tes. New Mishnah now. This Mishnah is going to discuss the status of the money that belongs to the Shomeres Yavam, both while she is a Shomeres Yavam. Shomeres Yavam is when she's in that in-between state. Her husband's already died, but she hasn't yet had Yibum or Chalitza. So this goes back to the larger discussion we've had throughout the Masechta of what exactly is the Koach of Zika. The fact that she's Zakuk to do a Yibum or Chalitza, but she hasn't actually had a Yibum or Chalitza yet. So what exactly is her relationship with the Yavam who she needs Yibum or Chalitza from? Is she considered married to him? Is she not considered married to him? Shomeres Yavam Shenafla Nechasim. A Shomeres Yavam that inherits something. Her father dies and she gets a Yerusha. Modim Beishamei Beisilel. Beishamei Beisilel, who are going to argue later on in this Mishnah, would both agree in this case, Shomacheres V'Nosenes V'Kayam, that she certainly has the right, if she sells items from that estate, the sales are totally valid. She certainly is allowed to do that. Mesa, here's where it gets tricky though. If she dies, dies, what do we then do with her ksuba and with her nichse malug, where she's entitled to the actual gufa karka, and the husband is only entitled to the peros? So what do we do with that property? Beishamay omrim yachloku yorshe abal im yorshe av. Beishamay say that the yorshe abal divided with the yorshe av, meaning it's considered a case of she's a suffolk nesuo. We treat her like she's suffolk married, suffolk not married, and therefore it's momen amutul b'suffolk. So they divide it. The yarshim of her father, if she's not married, then the father would yarshin her, and the yarshe av would get it. If she is married, then the husband would yarshin her, the yarshe abal would get it. Since it's a suffolk, they divide it. Ubeisil amrim nechasim b'cheskasan, and Beisil says leave everything where it is. Ksuba b'cheskas yorshe abal. The yorshe abal are right now muchzak in the ksuba because Beisil says you're right. It's a suffik. What do you do when you have a suffik about mammon? Hamotzi mechaver alavaraya. Leave it where it is. Don't move anything. So the ksuba stays with the yorshe abal. Nechasim and nechasim yotzinima b'cheskas yorshe av. And the nechseim alug goes with the yorshe av. Kansa hareyu ki ishta l'chal davar. Once he does yibum on her, though, if he did yibum while she was still alive, then she's his full wife. With the only exception being that the ksuba payment comes from the original husband who she was married to, from his estate, and not from the estate of the Yavam. But otherwise, the Yavam is considered a complete husband, and when she dies, the Yavam alone is going to yarshin everything that she has. It's not going to go back to her father's family. So Frek the Gemara in this kasha is going to take us through the rest of the daf. Maishna Resha Delo Pligiu, Maishna Seifa De Pligi. Why is there a difference between the case where she didn't die and the case where she did die in terms of how we treat her possessions? Why is it in the Resha that when she is still alive, Beis Shammai was completely happy by saying that she remains entitled to all of the nechasim that she yarshin from her father? It's just we leave it completely in her possession. She's macheris and osenis and all that. And in the seifa, when she dies, why don't we say that her yarshim get it? Meaning, if you said when she was alive she gets it, so when she's dead, why don't her yarshim get it? When she was alive, her husband had no rights over it. Her yavam, the potential yavam that she was up to, had no rights over it. Why, when she dies, is all of a sudden Beis Shammai going to say that these nechasim now she doesn't have rights to? So this kasha is a kasha in Beis Shammai. That's important to realize. The Gemara's answers are going to be mostly focused on Beis Shammai. It's going to be focused on reading the Mishnah, but it's going to be mostly focused on trying to make Beis Shammai work in the Mishnah. Beis Hillel already works, because Beis Hillel holds in the Reisha that she's entitled to the money while she's alive, and in the Seifa, after she dies, it remains B'cheskas Yorshei Ha'av, that they get those Nechasim. So Beis Hillel is more consistent. We're not as bothered by the Shita of the Beis Hillel. But anyway, so the Gemara is going to have at least three. I didn't get that far, but at least three approaches, two that we're going to cover in today's daf to answering our Mishnah. Number one, Amar Ula, Reisha Denaflik Shiarusa, Seifa Denaflik Shinasua. Strangely, the Mishnah changes the case midstream. The difference between the Reisha and the Seifa is not only that in the Reisha she was alive and in the Seifa she's dead, it was an entirely different type of Zika. The Reisha was talking about where she only had Erisin with her original husband when the original husband had died. So the whole Zika is only a Zika that was created out of Erisin, whereas the Seifa was where she had Nisuin with the original husband. So the Zika that's created was a Zika that was created out of Nisuin. And therefore, in the Reisha, when she's in what would the halacha be when you have an arusa mamish, when you have someone who's really in arusa? So Beis Shammai would say that she's allowed to sell her properties, and therefore for sure where she's only a zakuk, she only has a zika that emerges from erisin, but she's not an actual arusa, for sure she has the right to sell her properties. Now what happens to Beis Hillel holds by an arusa vadai, she's not allowed to sell l'chadchila, but b'dievet if she does sell, it works. Yeah, that's by an arusa vadai. She may not even be an arusa, and therefore Beis Hillel would also say let her sell even l'chadchila, because she's only a zakuk, because she only has a zika that emerges from an erisin, but she's not an arusa. So that's why the reisha makes sense, that she retains full rights. Certainly according to Beis Shammai, that holds that any arusa has the full rights in her properties, and even according to Beis Hillel, who holds that an arusa doesn't have complete rights in her properties, that's only by a vaday arusa. This case she's more a suffik arusa. That's how we would explain the reisha. Now the seifa is talking about a case of of where she's a Zika as a result of a Nesua. What would the halacha be by a real Nesua? So we would say everyone would hold that the Baal could be Motzi Miyad al-Lukuchos. Everyone would hold that the husband has the rights in the properties of a Nesua. So over here, by a Zika of a Nesua, it's treated like a Suffolk and not like a Nesua. And that's the Machlokas Beisham Beis Hillel in the Seifa. What do you do in the case of Suffolk? Beishamai says, Chaluka Adifa. Beis Hillel holds, Chazaka Adifa. Beishamai holds, when you have a case of Suffolk, Mamun Multiple Suffolk, Cholkin, you always divide. Every case of Suffolk, you divide. Beis Hillel holds, no, you have a case of Suffolk. What do you do in a case of Suffolk? Hamotzi Mechaver, Olav Araya. Go with whoever is Muchzuk in it right now. But that's only in the case of a Zika from a Nisuin, where a real Nisua, the husband would have total rights in the property. V'kasavar Ula, Zika Sarusa Osa Safek Arusa, and the premise of Ula's whole approach is that when you have a Zika that emerges from Erisin, we treat her like a Safek Arusa, Zikas Nisua Osa Safek Nisua. And when you have a Zika that emerges from a Nisuin, we treat her like a Safek Nisua. That's the basis of Ula's Shita. Zika Sarusa Osa Safek Arusa, and the Raya that Zika Sarusa is treated like a Safek Arusa is the Isal Kadaitich Vade Arusa. If you would hold that Zika Sarusa would make her a Vade Arusa, Modin Beisil Shomacharis Vnosenus Vekayim, do you think Beisil would say that we would let her sell the property, sell the items that she got by Arusha? Beisil would never say that if she was a Vade Arusa. Vatanan, the Mishnah tells us, Navla Nechasim Yishin Nesarsa, if she received Nechasim after Erisin, Beishame Yomrim Timkar, Beishame says she's allowed to sell those properties if she's a Vade Arusa. Beisilam lo timkar. Beisil holds the chachila. She's not allowed to sell those properties. El ve'el modim shemarchum nasakayim. Beisil would agree that if she does sell it, the sale is binding. The husband certainly can't come and take it away from the lukuchos. But Beisil would say in the case of Vade Arusa, she would not be allowed to sell it. That's the raya that Beisil must be viewing our Mishnah as a case of Safek Arusa. Because Beis Hillel says that she is allowed to sell even Lechachila in the Reish of our Mishnah. El Shema Minah. So you see from there, Zika Sarusa Osa Safek Arusa. That when she has a Zika that comes from a result of her Erisin with her original husband, that Zika is going to be considered like a Safek Arusa and nothing more. Zikas Nesua Osa Safek Nesua. Now the other half of the statement, that when a Zika comes from Nisuin, we treat it like a Safek Nesua. So the raya to that is as follows. If you're old, she's a Vadei Nesua. Now there's no debate, Beisham Beisil, what to do in the case of Vadei Nesua. We know what you do in a Vadei Nesua. When a woman is Vadei Nesua and she has Nechasim that she got by Yerusha, if she tries to sell them, the husband can go to the guy who bought them and take them away from him. She had no right to sell them if she's a Vadei Nesua. So Beisham Yom Yachlok Yorshe Abal and Yorshe Av, Beisham Shita in our Mishnah is that by this Zikas Nesua, they divide the estate. The Yorshe Abal and the Yorshe Av divide this money. Vatanan, but the Mishnah tells us when you have a Vadei Nesua, Nafla Nechasim Mishanises, Elu Ve'elu Modim, Shemachrav Nasa Shabal Motzi Miyad Al-Kulchos. Both Beishamai and Beis Hillel agree that when you have a Vadei Nesua, the woman's sales are totally worthless, totally invalid, and you can be Motzi Miyad Al-Kulchos. So you see from here that Zikas Nesua makes it a case of Suffolk Nesua. That a Zikas Nesua would be treated only like a Suffolk, not like a Vadei. If it was a Vadei, then in our Mishnah, in the safe of our Mishnah, everyone should have said the husband should be able to have the full rights. But obviously, everyone in our Mishnah said that it's considered a Suffolk because a Zika that comes from Nisuin is only treated like Suffolk Nisuin. Amrle Rabba, so Rabba just says that's a nice interpretation of our Mishnah. The only problem is, Adimiflugi Begufa Lachar Misa, Liflugu Bechayel Leperos. Instead of arguing about the actual Nechasim that she gets and arguing about what to do with it after she dies, why not talk about the Peros while she's still alive? I mean, you could have the same machlokas about the peros while she's still alive. I mean, the whole machlokas, the way you're understanding it, Ula, says Rabba, the whole machlokas, the way you're understanding it between Beisham and Beis Hillel, is when you have a case of Suffolk, is Chaluka Adifa or is Chazaka Adifa? Do we say, like Beishamai holds, that when you have a case of Suffolk, always divide it? And Beis Hillel says, when you have a case of Suffolk, always go with Chazaka. You could have had that same machlokas if she's still alive. about the peros, where it's also considered a situation of safek, where the Beis Shammai would say, let the peros be divided between her and the husband, because she's not a vadei nesua. If there was a vadei nesua, the husband would definitely get the peros, so let her divide the peros with the husband, whereas Beis Hillel would say, let the husband get nothing, because she's muchsuk in the peros, and it's a safek. So we could have had the same machlokas. So that can't be what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah wouldn't have killed her just for that. The Mishnah didn't kill anyone, but the Mishnah wouldn't have said that she was dead just to come up with a case of Chaluka Adifa or Chazaka Adifa. There's no reason to come up with a case that she's dead for that. Ella Amar Rabba, rather Rabba says, here's how to understand our Mishnah, and this is approach number two, and again, we're only going to get to two of the approaches today in our Mishnah, so this is the second and final approach for today. Ella Amar Rabba, Idi V'Idi, Din Nafla Kashi Nesua, V'Zikas Nesua, Sosaf Nesua. Everyone, both the Reisha and the Sefer, it's all talking about where she had a Zika from a Nisuin. She had a Nisuin with the original husband, now she has a Zika to the Yavam. And everyone also agrees that Zikas Nesua is treated like Safek Nesua. Reisha di ihi kaima havala ihi vadai v'inu safek. In the Reisha, when she's still alive, she's coming with the Torah, with the tainas vadai. They're coming with the tainas safek. Vein safek motzi midei vadai. And you can't have a safek motzi midei vadai, because what does it mean she's coming with tainas vadai? She doesn't really have a tainas vadai. What she has is she knows for sure that the keren belongs to her, that the gufa karka is hers. It's under her ownership. That she knows for sure, because even after she gets married, she is the owner. She's not allowed to sell it, but she is the owner. If she sells it, the husband is allowed to confiscate it from Lukuchos, but she's definitely the owner. So she has the upper hand in the Taina. The husband, the Yavam rather, is coming with the possibility that maybe he's nothing, or maybe he's a husband, and therefore he has rights to certainly the peros, and to confiscate any sales of the property itself. But that's only a suffix, because maybe he's nothing, maybe he's a suffix, he's treated like a suffix. So that's why she's going to win in the Reisha, and she's allowed to sell the property, because she's b'toras vaday. And again, toras vaday over here just means she has a stronger taina. She has a vaday connection to the property, but not necessarily that she's vaday allowed to sell it, but she has a vaday connection to the property, and therefore the suffix is not going to be motzi midei vaday. Seifa de mesa, but in the seifa, in the case of the seifa where she's already dead, halolu ba'in lirish, halolu ba'in lirish, v'yachloku. It's not her versus the Yavam, it's her children, her father rather, versus the Yavam. It's her family versus the Yavam. So everyone's coming b'toras Yerusha, and therefore, when everyone's coming b'toras Yerusha, everyone's coming b'toras Safek, and that's why you're going to divide it according to the Beis Shammai. Esve Abaye, so Abaye asks, wait a second, but that assumes that according to the Beis Shammai, that we would say, ein sofik motzi midei vadai. Ul Beis Shammai, ein sofik motzi midei vadai. Does Beis Shammai really hold of such a principle that ein sofik motzi midei vadai? Vatnan, I'll tell you, we have a Mishnah where we have a case of a sofik and a vadai, and Beis Shammai does not say ein sofik motzi midei vadai. The Mishnah talks about, nafal abayis alavi alavav, a house caves in on a guy and his father, and we don't know who died first, or alavi al marisha, or anyone else who's morish this guy. Vayu alav ksubas isho balcho. And this guy owes a lot of money to his wife and to Balchov. Yorshe Av Omrim Haben Meis Rishon V'Acharkach Meis Av. The Yorshim of the father say that the son died first, and he died penniless, and then the father died, and therefore the son's not entitled to anything. We get the Yerusha of the father. Ubalchov Omer Haav Meis Rishon V'Acharkach Meis Aben. The guy who the son owed money to said, no, father died first, son yarshined him, and now the money is owed to us. Beishamay Yomrim Yachloku. Beishamay says, Yachloku. Beisil Lom Nechasim Chaschasim. Beisil says, leave the Nechasim where they are. Vahacha Yorshea Vadai Balchil Safek. But in this case, the Yorshea Avar of Vadai and the Balchov is a Safek. Meaning the Yorshea Av should definitely have the upper hand. They're Muchsak, that they come Mikach Yerusha Vadai. That even if a father died first, the Nichsea Ben would go to the Yorshin. But the Balchov it doesn't have anything yet. He hasn't collected anything yet. Vikasi Safik Motzi Midei Vadai, and still the Safik is winning, so answers it, or getting at least part, so say, getting half. Says the Gemara, Kasavi Beishamai Shtar Omeligvos Gavadam. Beishamai doesn't view Al Balchov as a Safik. He views that when you have a Shtar, it's as if it's already collected, so therefore he's as much of a Vadai as the Yarshimar. Uminat Temra, how do you know that? Titanan Mesu Balei Nachalo Shasu. Let's say you have women whose husbands had accused them of cheating on them, and they're Sota, and they're in the husband
dies before they ever drink the mesota. Beshamay says they can't drink the mesota because the husband is not alive anymore, but they are entitled to their ksuba. They could either drink or not get their ksuba. What do you mean they can drink? The husband is dead already. How can they drink the mesota? Mesil says they're entitled to nothing because they can't drink. They might have been mezana. How can they be entitled to anything? It must be that since it's a ksuba and it's omid ligvos, it's as if it's already collected. That's considered a vaday. When Abai wanted to prove that Beishame holds that a savik can be motzi midei vaday, why didn't he come up with this case of the sota? Says Gemara, Dilma ksuba sisha shiny mishum china. Maybe by ksuba sisha, we always try to be nice to the woman because we want women to want to get married, so we always give them the upper hand. Velusvi ksuba demasnisin. Why didn't he ask the case of the Mishnah? Lo pligi, that there's no machlokas about. Velova ketani mesa mayasim ksubasim nechasim nechasim mayosim abisham yom achlok yorshe balim yorshe av beisulam nechasim nechaskasan. We had a beferish of machlokas in the Mishnah. Now hachi kamar mesa mayasim ksubasa v'shavka nechasim nechasim mayosim ba beisham yom yachloku yorshe abal im yorshe av beisulam nechasim nechaskasan. That when we have this machlokas, it's not about the ksuba, it's about the other nechasim. Am Ravashi masnisin amideka de ketani yachloku yorshe abal im yorshe av v'lo ketani yorshe av im yorshe abal shma minot. The order that it says yorshe abal im yorshe av suggests that we're talking about the nechasim and nechasim ayotzinima and not the ksuba. So that's the raya. So that's the end of the second answer. Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll begin with the third approach to our Mishnah.